I want to talk a little bit tonight. I've been reading some things and we've talked about it in our classes when I was in Bible school somewhat, but I want to start tonight a little bit about the grace of God, not what people use wrongly, but what the grace of God really is and how we can really understand it and apply it to our life. Because how many know, sometimes people put anything to an extreme, but that must mean there must be power in it. The devil doesn't use things, you know, and make extremes of things that aren't real. And we can come into an extreme in anything. I was just saying, you know, somebody can pray and they think they're, you know, how many ever heard of that? You know, warring tongues, you know. Oh, we're warring at the devil. Well, the Bible says you're praying to God. Hallelujah. You're not praying to the devil. You're not praying about the devil. You're praying to God. Amen. And he hears you, you know. And I know he's not nervous, but he's not deaf either. Hallelujah. You know, if you're going to pray a few hours, you might want to lower your voice a little. You know, don't wear it out. Amen. So anyway, but anything can be an extreme. I know that it's important. How many know it's important to submit to one another? Submit to the body of Christ. How many ever seen that? You know, where it's gotten a little out of order. There was a while, not too long back, several years back, but they were having the shepherding movement. People in the church, they couldn't do anything unless they asked the pastor. You know, it was almost so bad, you know, he can't even lay down with his wife without asking the pastor first. You know, it was pretty serious. You can't buy a new car unless you ask the pastor. You know, it's almost like we're in class here and you got to raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Oh, can I use the restroom? You know, it was almost that serious. It was getting that bad to where, you know, you can't do anything. Unless you ask the pastor first. Well, we were going to take vacation that week. Nope, can't take vacation that week. Sorry. You got to be here. Having special meetings that week. You got to be here. That's called control. Amen. That's not called pastoring or shepherding of any kind. So there can become however, how we know we should submit to the Lord and as, you know, and submit to what God's authority is, you know, amen, wherever God's authority is, as unto what? The Lord, right? And so we do submit also one to another, and we submit to where that anointing is flowing at the time. I mean, you wouldn't want me up here singing if we're doing worship, you know. You don't want Pastor Doug up here singing. We want whoever's anointed to sing, amen, and where that anointing lies, and where that gifting is. And a lot of times when we begin to find our place, we find our gift. How many know that there's a grace that comes upon us? The grace of God begins to flow. And so sometimes, we need to realize that there is truths in the Bible. And even though they may be taken to extremes in different ways, yet... Excuse me, there can be a power that can be applied in a truth that we need to realize and that can be applied to our life. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3. I just use the word grace here. That's not what I'm really looking for yet, but we're moving there. If I go too slow, we'll just go too slow. But I believe we'll get it down. Amen. He says here in John 3, beloved, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But here right now, I want us to see now we are what? The children of God right now, right? How many children of God do we have here? If you've received Jesus into your life, you're a child of God. And so we can say, you know, if we inherit our physical genes from our parents, then it would be safe to say that we inherit something of God's spiritual nature when we are born of Him. Amen? And we know that we do. We receive part of who He is. God actually, what? Births us. We are born from above, as we say. And our nature is like God now. We come from darkness and we move into light. We were translated. We were changed. We didn't stay in darkness when we were born again. We became the very child of God. And He says, now are we the children of God right now. Not going to be, not in the future tense. Amen. Now some people believe, you know, well, we're not yet saved. We'll be saved when we get our new body. Then we'll be saved. No, that's when we'll have our new body. We're already born again. Our eternity started the day you received Jesus. Amen. So physically speaking, how many know that our genes and our DNA, they come from what? Our parents. DNA is a molecule that's in your body. You ever see one of those twisted ladders, you know, when you're in school and they started talking about the DNA? And there's hundreds and trillions of cells in our body. And each cell has one of those little DNA to tell it exactly what to do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we got trillions of them. They're floating around your blood, your body right now. It told your body how to be made, you know, when you're from your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? And, you know, there was a blueprint, and there's each of these has genetic instructions, and it enables our body to live and to develop and to function. And, you know, one scientist said if you put down or you wrote down all the instructions that's contained in your DNA, it would fill 600, they would be, it would fill 1,600 page books. So if you got a book that's 600 pages and you stack 1,000 of them up, it could be your DNA for one person. That's how much information is on the inside of you. Can you hardly believe that? Isn't God good? Isn't He amazing? And we realize, of course, that the Bible is true again. Psalm chapter 139, verse 4 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's you. That's each and every single one of us. You know, from the smallest to the largest. We all need that DNA to keep living. Amen. And so I know it's probably been a long time since we ever studied those things, but that ladder, and you know, that's there, one of those little things, I think they call it a helix, a double helix. And we're more familiar with what's on TV, you know, the DNA that they have for the crime scenes, and they try to convict people with it, right? Or maybe they don't convict them. They find you innocent. Amen. And so there's a lot of things there. And so that's what really makes each of us completely unique. We each have our own makeup. And because of that, we realize that, I mean, unless maybe you're identical twins, you know. it's a useful thing. They use DNA to, you know, find out what sometimes to help discover who the parents really are of this child, you know, whether you're really the parent or not. And we establish sometimes, like I said, guilt or things like that in the crime scene. And when each of us is conceived, we receive that our genetic makeup then from what? Our parents. And we grew, we developed physically, the traits, the characteristics that's been, you know, put inside of our DNA begin to come forward. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, everybody, that's when everybody's saying, oh, he looks like Uncle Joe. No, he looks like you. He looks like his daddy or his mama. You know, and so, and we find out that they're a combination of both of them. Amen. Amen. And we begin to develop when we move forward. In other words, what we see on the outside, you know, begins to come forward. And it's kind of like, that's what they say is our phenotype. It's what the cell produces, is the part that we see. We call it the phenotype or the manifested expression of it. It's what we can observe externally, like our hair color, the height of our body, the frame of our body. And it's defined by our DNA. And it is very fascinating. When we consider this, and I want to kind of use that, and there's a book called Out Grace, God's DNA by Tony Cook, COOKE, and if you ever want to read that, you can, or you can ask me. I might be able to loan it to you if you promise to bring it back at the right time. Hallelujah. But we'll see. But there it can be kind of a correlation that the grace of God is God himself. I mean, grace is when God's power, his abilities begin to work in us as we discover who we are in him and we discover our place. There is an empowerment. There is a help that comes to us and we call that the grace of God. A lot of times, how many of you ever heard that? What is the grace of God? Well, that's the unmerited favor of God, right? Well, what does that mean? And then anybody ever tried to say, well, what does that mean? You tried to explain it to somebody and, well, that means it's, you know, God, you know, it's unmerited. You didn't earn it, you know. You just get it. And then all those things are true. But sometimes it's a little bit vague to us. We don't really realize that it was something that's really what God used to what? To save us. We are saved what? By grace through faith. Faith in the grace of God, in the unmerited favor of God. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. It was impossible to earn and we didn't deserve it, and that's for sure. Jesus said that God is a spirit. Where was that? John 4:24, right? John, over in John, the big John 4:24, Jesus says, God is a spirit. Now, if we're made in the image of God, then we must be spirit as well. All right, that's John 4:24. But in the context of the birth, that is, you know, that which is born of flesh, John 3, right, verse 6, is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, the physical part of us we received from our parents. And the human spirit, which was born of God, is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now we're in John, yeah, over there. And so his nature and his character, we receive what? At the new birth. At that place where we said, yes, Lord, I believe that you've redeemed me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. There's nothing I could do to get it. Well, how do you know it? Well, over there in Romans. That's a good verse there in Romans. Chapter 3, verse 24. He said, oh, wait a minute. Let's see. 3 would help if I get to 3 first. Chapter 3. Verse 24, right? It says, being justified freely by his grace. By his grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now see, redemption, that just means that Jesus paid the price. We didn't really have anything to do with it, did we? Were you alive? Were you there? Did you help Jesus pay the price? No, we didn't. He alone came and made the ransom for all of us, or paid the price for all of us, or the ransom. You know, to deliver, for the deliverance, the setting us free. The conqueror released us as from prison of sin, amen? Where we're no longer bound to that. We were prisoners really of the enemy, bound to sin. Lost in that forever, unless God had sent Jesus. And he came and paid the full price. Now, when we already know that God made man in his image. Genesis 1:26, right? He made us in his image and his likeness. And we have something. We have put on something that's the new self. And we're created, or being, you know, we're being renewed in the image of our Creator. Hallelujah. Let's look here in Colossians 3:10 for a minute. Now here we saw the redemption that he bought by that grace. Hallelujah. I know I'm going really slow, but I think we're doing okay. Holy Spirit, help us. Hallelujah. Teach us, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. I should go a little faster. I got a lot of verses here. So. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according, what? To the image. See there? The image of him who created us, which is the image of God. So down on the inside of us, there's an image. When you were born again, you are yourself. You have your own spirit, don't you? You were born again. Each of us has our own spirit. But there in our spirit is that seed form. You kind of look like Jesus, right? You're supposed to reflect him. His image is what's really been placed on the inside of us. The very life, the nature, the desire of Christ, which is down on the inside of you and I, can begin to be brought forth. He says, we're putting on that new man. You have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. How many know there's a new knowledge on the inside of you? Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? See, knowledge is one key that we need. It makes a difference when we have certain knowledge of who we are. Now here we have knowledge of healing. I was talking earlier about the gentleman that called. He wasn't sure about the knowledge of healing or the understanding of healing. But how many know when we get a hold of the knowledge of the Word of God, it's according to the image of him who created him. In other words, the image of Jesus is on the inside of us. He created us. In true, we were born again. Ephesians 4 says that we're born again, what? In true righteousness and true holiness. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Well, how about that? And if we look at Ephesians 4, verse 24, see in the Amplified, it says, put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. How many think that's pretty good? Amen? The regenerated self. Hallelujah. That's the new self. That means we're not going to live according to the things that we used to live according to. Not according to what? The course of this world. But we're putting on that new man. We're being changed into the likeness of Jesus. His very life. In other words, his very DNA lives on the inside of you. And it's going to begin to teach you, to bring you knowledge, to bring you understanding, to begin to reveal who you really are. A child of God. A very son of the living King. Hallelujah. Amen. You belong to him. You're in his family, in other words. If we've been birthed from God, then his nature, his life, his DNA, his desire for us, and where you are to be planted, and what is your place and your purpose in the body of Christ, is already on the inside of you and I. And that's the beauty that we have been given, that God places his law, his righteousness, his holiness right on the very inside of us. That God's image, that God likeness that lives there. Oh, glory to God. I'm kind of getting excited here. Now, these are verses I know that we've read before. But how many know the Word of God is not old? It's new. And we can read it over and over. And the Holy Spirit will teach it to you and make it come alive on the inside. And we begin to realize who we really are. Peter tells us that through God's exceeding great and precious promises that we become what? Partakers of the divine nature, the very divine nature of God. Oh, hallelujah. How many like that? How many believe that the very divine life and nature of God lives in you? 2 Peter 1:4. Now, 7 times it says in the book of John, it refers to believers as those that are born of God. Hallelujah. How many think that's a good thing? That's quite a few times. Just in the book of Big John. Hallelujah. We'll say Big John. Because, you know, little John's, First John. John and Paul made several references to us as the children of God. And Galatians 3. We'll look at that. Galatians 3:26. We're close there. Just a couple chapters here. Galatians, right before Ephesians. 3:26. It says, but the Jerusalem above is free. No, it doesn't. Galatians 3:26. Excuse me, I was in chapter 4. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you are all the sons of God. Through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, ladies, you can be a son if us men can be part of the bride. Amen. All right. So that makes it fair. There is, how many know, there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You are a child of God, a joint heir with Him, a son, a daughter of God, and we belong to Him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. And of course, we know one of my favorite verses here in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17 says, therefore, what if any man, if anyone, any person, any son or daughters in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We were made new. We were changed. We weren't left an old sinner, as some people would say. Some religious Christians might say. But we have been made new. And I think sometimes people have a point. I mean, they're looking for the change, and because they find it difficult, you know, they struggle with their flesh. Well, we must have to just do that. But the Bible said He has made us free from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you and I. We don't have to sin just by the new birth alone. Amen. Just right here. We've been made new. Did we become new or not? Amen. We got something to shout about. We're a child of God. We've been made new. We've been changed from the inside out. We could say we've got the very DNA of our Father on the inside of our spirit. He quickened it. He made it alive. He's the one that changed it and made all things new. And really, when we talk about that, we're talking about the part of us that's on the inside that men and women don't really see. So, but how many know that we also want to get that on the outside, amen, where people can see it? See, as we mature in Christ, as we grow in Him, how many know people should see us more of what? More of Jesus flowing out of us. That would be what? More of His love, more of His compassion, more of His kindness, more of the goodness, more of His faithfulness or faith, the faith of God rolling from us, joy, peace, our favorite, patience, hallelujah, you know. Hurry up, God, you know. I'm patiently waiting. Hurry up, God, you know. Yeah, we all want it last week. Lord, we want revival, you know, could you bring it today? I will, but I need to help you mature. I need to help you realize that you're a son, that you're not left alone. I have created you to walk with me in my likeness, and that my image that's on the inside of you will begin to come to the outside. As we mentioned, it is kind of as we develop spiritually, then what, you know, they call the DNA that you can see, you begin to see the features of what's happening in that body, that phenotype that's in there, that's in you. And, you know, we've all known Christians that are maybe a little spiritually barren. Anybody ever known that? Not expressing much of God's nature outwardly. Hallelujah. You know, maybe there's a little bit, but not that much. But God wants us to reflect the glory of the Lord and to become more and more like Him as we're what changed into the same what image. Did you see that? We've been talking a little bit about a couple of things here. Being a son, but also having the image of Christ. If we've been born again, then it's in there. It's in us. We have that nature. We have that ability to develop, to grow, to mature as what? We see who we really are. Do we really believe we've been changed? Do you believe that you become a son or daughter of God? Do we really believe we're someone special? We're not the same. We're a different kind of species. See, that we never existed before. Because Adam and Eve, yeah, they had a spirit alive to God. Where was I going? I was going somewhere, Lord. Oh, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's what I was talking about. Being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the nature of God, the Spirit of God, your spirit, which was made to life, which was given the DNA of God on the inside of it, so that everything that you are called to do and what you can become in Christ Jesus will begin to come forward from the inside out to where even those around you can see. Oh, look at there. There's a call of God on them to really minister in that area. Maybe it's some administrative area. Maybe it's a helps area for a while. You know, we don't all walk into the very perfect will of God or really even our call immediately. We all start out what? As a servant of the Lord. And we stay a servant. Even after we walk into what God's called us to do, we actually become more of a servant. And we're not moving up in rank, we're moving down to support and bring life to the body of Christ. As we find our place, as we begin to see who we are changed, he said, into that same image. From glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's really the beauty. I mean, we talk about, hey, well, why are you praying in tongues? Why are you spending time speaking in tongues, talking to God? Because it's bringing forward everything that you are in Him. It's bringing it to light to where you can understand it, where you and I each see it, where we realize who we are. We've been declared righteous. We've been declared redeemed by God Almighty. We've been purchased by Him. He paid that price. The ultimate price was paid. And now the sonship is coming into being and I am moving into His very glorious image by the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. He wants us to display and reflect the very glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, what's the glory of the Lord? That's all He is. That's all of His greatness. That's all of His power. That's all of His wisdom. Whatever area we need or wherever God has called us, He may call some of us to specialize in. How many ever seen that? Specialize in different things. Amen. Pastor Dave was kind of a specialist in praying in tongues, you know, and bringing that truth forward. How many know Brother Hagin? God told him to teach on faith. Not that he didn't teach on anything else, but it always came back to what God had called them to do. And what has God called us to do? Amen. We're taking Canada. We're a house of prayer. We're people that are called by His name. And He said, hey, I've called you. Will you stand for revival in St. Thomas? And allow us to possess the fullness of who I am and display His glory right here in a place that's, I mean, somewhat religious, somewhat maybe spiritually bankrupt to some degree, where, yes, they've had the great move of God at one time, but it has waned, and the gates of the city have been broken down and the walls need to be rebuilt and people need to know that Jesus is King and they need to see him in all his fullness and all his power, in all his glory and what he can and will do for them. Amen. So it's one thing when we receive Jesus into our life and we have that DNA and that nature of God on the inside of us. And it's another thing to see it manifest, amen, outwardly. How many know that's a continual learning of who we are and daily dying to the things that are not of him? You know, so when you're driving down the road, we remember. Oh yeah, I'm not supposed to cuss him. I'm not supposed to yell at that driver. No. He said, what do you say? No, love, kindness. I'm supposed to have some kindness, Lord. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, when they honk at me, I just, you know, hey buddy, you did something wrong. I don't know if I did or not. Really, you know, I was like, oh, okay. If I did, sorry. You know, I don't know what the deal is. Those things don't really bother me. They used to sometimes, you know. Anybody ever had that problem? You know, you get a little angry, upset. Oh yeah, you know. But you know, everybody has the right to make mistakes. So let them make their mistake and move forward. Amen. Well, unfortunately, it's gotten pretty serious these days. Though. Could be. You know, people get into, you know, that road rage. You know how that kind of got, that name kind of got started, I think. There was a lady and she was a home, just a homemaker at home, housewife. She got all upset one day and pulled a gun out of her purse and shot a guy over a traffic deal. She got really upset and became known as road rage. I was like, wow, I didn't know that's kind of, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, that actually happened. And, you know, she got so upset, she actually pulled her little gun out and shot him and, you know, could have killed somebody. Thank God he didn't die. But I mean, it could have been. But they put her in jail. She said, you're going to jail, ma'am. For, well, I'm just a housewife. I just, you know, I didn't mean to, well, you may not have meant to get angry. But you did. You've lost your temper. You're not displaying what, you know, people are not displaying that. Why? They're of a death nature. You know, and it can take you far away, far down the other side. We see that when Hitler came into power, he taught those men who could just kill people. Anyway. Well, you know, and as we do develop and as God birthed us, we know that we're saved by grace, but how many know his grace is also involved in us maturing? Amen. He brings more grace. He said, where sin abounds, grace does what? Much more abound. And he understands our struggle and he brings his empowerment and his help. I mean, that's the great, wouldn't the Holy Spirit be a person of grace to us? He is very gracious. He comes to guide us into all truth and to show us areas in our life that are not perfected, that need help. And he not only shows them to us, but he begins to help us to overcome in every area of our life. Amen. So, and we begin to move forward. And so, when we refer to, you know, it is the, you know, we're going to see how God's love and grace are imparted into our lives and also what his grace can produce in us and through us. The grace of God begins to work in us. It is what saved us, but it doesn't leave us. Amen. His grace continues to work with us. In other words, we could say one way, it is kind of like we exchange our weakness for his ability, for his strength. We say, well, I'm not weak. Well, Paul said he wasn't weak too. I mean, you know, he said, I'm not strong. I'm weak. Paul says, well, I'll rather glory in my infirmity that the grace of Christ may abound, that God may abound in me, that it is His grace that works in us and through us. Hallelujah. And so our nature and our character begin to come forward and is expressed through our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Second Corinthians 4, we're real close there. Verse 15 says, "For all these are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving and abound to the glory of God." Now here we see the grace of God working. The NLT says, "And God's grace reaches more and more people." As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. In other words, it's going to abound to the glory of God. More and more people are moving forward, and we begin to see this grace of God. And we want to see what does it do for us? And we'll start looking as we move along. I mean, we'll be getting there. And what does it do in us? And how does God's grace really help us? I mean, if it's so important, which we can see, I mean, it's throughout the Word of God. Even in the Old Testament, it's more referred to as God's favor and His mercy towards you. You know, His loving kindness and His favor is really what it referred to under the Old Testament. They were saying His loving kindness and His God's favor towards you was His grace operating. So you see it really from the old covenant all the way into the new. It is the grace of God that saves us, the grace of God that enables us. It is the grace of God that helps us as we begin our walk with God, but then He also helps us mature in our walk as we mature to show out what has been placed down on the inside of us. The grace of God, the very nature of God, the very life of God that you and I received. And the more and more, of course, as we recognize that and see that, and we'll begin to walk in that. I'm just trying to see if I want to move forward under this next part, or we'll just hang on for a minute. We may do a few. Psalm 111 verse 4 says, "The Lord is gracious." Amen. The Lord is gracious. Psalm 111 and verse number 4. I'm going to turn to it here. It says, He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is gracious. Amen. How many are glad God's not, He's not wrathful to us, but He is gracious toward mankind. Amen. And He is a giver of grace in Proverbs 3:34. Proverbs 3:34. Now we may mention some of the things where grace overreaches a little, but I want us to understand what grace is. Here He says, "Surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." Amen. God's the giver of grace. When we humble ourselves, His grace, His loving kindness, His goodness comes to us. Amen. The grace of God is God's power comes. His ability begins to come on the inside of us and work in us. I'll just read a few of these, and then we'll close here in just a few minutes. But 1 Peter 5:10 says, He is the God of all grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, His throne is a throne of grace. Hebrews 10:29, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. In Acts 20:24, in verse 32, our message is called the gospel of the grace of God and the word of his grace. How many can see the grace of God is important? Amen. The prophets of old prophesied of the grace that would come to us. And the grace came by Jesus Christ in John 1:17. The other's 1 Peter 1:10, where they prophesied the grace of God would come to us. Amen. John 1:14 and verse 16 says, Jesus was full of grace, and it is from his fullness that we receive one grace after another. And Hebrews 2:9 says, it was by grace that Jesus tasted of death for every single man. And we're just getting started. Amen. How many think the grace of God? Do you see the grace of God that birthed you, that brought you the salvation of God, that caused you to be changed to be a son of God, and that his image is on the inside of you, his very nature, his very life, and it can be there in a seed form. And it's one thing to know about that on the inside. And then it's another to what get it on here on the outside, where we can reflect the very glory of God to mankind around us. How many are looking forward to that? Amen. Amen. How many want to reflect more of the glory of God? How many believe that his grace has something to do with that? Well, we can understand that he is working in us and that we're working with him, with his ability. See, the grace of God is an empowerment. Amen. It lives on the inside of you. He created you. He made you his own. And we are in union with him as his sons and daughters and the children of the Most High God. And that grace is going to begin to, what, teach us, and we'll get into that, you know, where it teaches us and shows us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to know him. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to just stop right there. Hallelujah. I thank everybody. How many in here? I know that we got some people that are still moving forward. We could preach for hours, I'm sure. We could stay here, I guess, and go through the whole thing maybe by 7 a.m. or something like that, or 8, then we'd start again, you know. So, hallelujah, because why? The Word of God just doesn't end, does it? You ever get to studying the Bible, you know, and then it gets you on another little rabbit trail over here, and you say, oh, wow, you know, this is all connected. God's Word is truth. Amen. And it can set us free as we understand who we are and who he is and what his grace has done for us and is doing for us today. Amen. That's really what I want us to see. So Father, we thank you for your word today. For as far as we have gone so far here this Wednesday night, Father, and I thank you for the truth of the grace of God. That Lord, it is something that we have received down on the inside of us. It is part of who we really are and the very nature that we receive. That, Father, we are filled with the very grace of God. Been saved by grace through faith, Father. And we are, it was not of ourselves, but is what you have purchased for us and have done in us and are bringing forth from the inside of us. That, Father, as we begin to yield over and give our lives to you, that there is a grace that we can walk in. It gives us that divine ability to perform whatever it is that you've asked of us. So, Father, as we go home today, Lord, I thank you for safety over each person. I plead the blood over every car, Lord, every vehicle from top to bottom, side to side, bumper to bumper, over every moving part, Lord. And we say there'll be no accident or calamity. They'll come near our dwelling, Father, and we won't be hit by any animals either, Father. In Jesus' name, I decree it over our church and over our people, protection and health. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree and declare, till we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.